Sairam, dear listeners, till now we have heard the afternoon satsang by Brother Prem and Arvind. And welcome to Veda Jignasa for the new timing. And with you is Ganesh of Team DDSI, and along with me is Brother Bhargav, Sairam Bhargav.
Sairam Ganesh.
So at the outset, we shall all collectively offer our most humble prayers at Bhagwan's lotus feet, and with a humble prayer that every thought, word and deed is His inspiration, we shall commence today's class with Ganapati Prarthana Mantram.
Gananantva Ganapati Gum Havamahe Kavim Kavinam Upamashravastamam Jeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrunvan Notibhissedasadhanam Prano Devi Saraswati Vaje Bhirvajinivati Dhinama Vitriyavatu Ganeshaya Namaha Saraswatyai Namaha Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
So Bhargav, the blossoming of the intellect.
Yes. So we are already stepping into the blossoming of the intellect.
Yes.
So the first line is, if you just chant,
Medha Devi Jushamana Naaga Advishvachi Bhadra Sumanasyamana Tvaya Jushta Nudamana Duruktaan Bruhadvadema Vidathe Suviraha.
I think so much gets covered in this, correct, Ganesh?
Yes.
So much.
Yes.
I think when we go into this, then we'll realize that so much which is very relevant to all of us, and which was a very favorite topic of Swami. Swami used to always keep dwelling, harping on this. Only that one word, like, I think, let us not get into the second line immediately. Let's dwell a little bit on this first line first. So the first line, it says that you are the one who will give us Bhadra Sumanasya Mana. So, a good mind, good thoughts to us. So, the question comes that who is the one who is actually capable or eligible to give someone good thoughts? Because we are all different entities, so called. So, there is a word which just precedes them is Vishwachi, means the one who pervades the whole universe. Like, he is there in every inch, every atom of this whole universe. So one who is there in everything can do anything he wants or she wants. Here it is she, his mother. So this is a prayer to the mother to come. Actually, the beauty of this is we invoke her. Invoke her to come and occupy our minds and make it pure, make it beautiful, so that whatever comes out from us is also beautiful. It's beneficial for others. And you know, as you had this beautiful thought also, that it's not that only if I have to do something good. Like Swami says, it is not one, but like you, whenever you realize, like whenever Swami tells something, he always says, you first experience it, try to get the ananda out of it, and padimandiki panchandi.
Share it with others.
10 more people you share it with. That's what. So, it's always that whenever you do something, when you do alone, it's not joyful. When you do it and share with others, and others also come and share, partake that joy with you, that gives it more joy, more ananda, more happiness. So, when I have a good thought, I want probably do some small activity, some small act of kindness. If 10 more people join me, then the act becomes even more, because it becomes infectious. It goes around to more people. So, but who will give the thought to those other 9 people to actually join me in this? It is mother only. So that is why it is not only important that I should get a good thought or you get a good thought. You should also pray that you give the good thought to others also, so that they join me in this noble endeavor. So then this becomes very important, Sumanasya Mana, not only for me, it's for all, to make the whole world beautiful.
Yes. So when we are about to accomplish a task, as Swami beautifully tells, man is a social being. He cannot be alone. anytime. Because he, for example, if we take the act of we drinking coffee in the early morning, how do we drink coffee? When milk comes, when coffee powder comes, when the milkman comes and gives us the milk. So many things are involved in just that one cup of coffee what your mother gives in the early morning.
And the effort and the love of mother also is there.
Exactly. So who has given the thought of giving us the coffee to our mother? So that thought of, yes, I have to give this. So the milkman comes and gives us milk. Yes, these people have to enjoy this milk. So all these come together in the form of that single thought which is being planted by Medha Devi.
Yes.
So the Sumanasya Mana, you are praying to the goddess to give good thoughts, not only to you, but also to all others around you.
See, again, what we had been telling in Durga Suktam, again, the same, we just want to reiterate this thing again. Medha Devi Jushamana Na Aga. Na. Again, Naha. You remember that Naha, we had always had this thing before. Naha is for us.
As.
Na Aga. I mean, Naha. When Naha Aga becomes Na, there's a called Visarga Sandhi called Lopa. So that Naha, the Visarga gets Lopa in this, means it gets dissolved in the word when it comes together. So, it is again a community prayer. You come to us and give us goodness, give us good thoughts, give us good mind. Aga means come. With what? With Bhadra and Sumanasya Mana. And then we come to the point next. The next line we come to the point actually what was happening and what we actually want from you. And you know, Swami will be very happy because we are actually chanting this mantra, because Swami used to tell it so many times. Boy, bad boys. Always gossip. Always talking. So,
dear.
Excessive talk.
Adhika prasangam.
And you know what? Swami used to tell so many times in his sweet way that, no, not sweet. This is not sweet. Sorry. This is in a stern way. I remember once I was a witness to it. Swami came and, you know, we used to have this session where Swami used to come in the
portico.
In the portico and then he used to talk to us. I remember he reprimanded once the warden. He told, what is happening in the hostel? All these boys, they roam around like cats and dogs and talk. And then we were like, what is this? Then he told that, see, you know, how Swami, like, so perfectly describes what happens. If I'm getting bored, maybe if I'm not having any work, so what I'll do? My tendency is, okay, let me go out of my room and probably go to the next room and tell Saram to someone, hi, hello to someone, some gossip here. Probably the next room, some gossip there. This is like dogs. They never stayed one place. They keep going here and there. Like that, boys keep going to every room and talking. Why? You should be in your own room. If you have any time, do some silent sitting. Do some silent prayer. Read some Swami's literature.
Utilize time in a proper way.
Proper way. Don't go around like, remember, you use cats and dogs. So clear. Swami is very clear. You should not be doing this.
Before we come into contact with you, before you come into our lives, it has been a life of all, the words are not used properly. It was just trash all along.
Yes.
But when you have touched my life, it turned out to be a blossoming of my personality.
Yes, and how it is, that also is described so beautifully in that. Before that, let us describe what actually the Rishi says when he says, Nudamana Duruktan, means, I used to delight in
gossip.
Duruktan. Bad words, bad thoughts and speaking bad, slander, all caviling, everything, all these things. But when you came into my life or when you are going to come into my life because I am going to invoke you to come, how my mind transforms, how my vak transforms is, I start speaking Bruhat Vadema, means, Bruhat means something great, something noble, something exalted. Vadema means speak. And that makes me a Suvira, means someone who becomes heroic in your speech. And yes, Swami always wanted us to be heroes of action.
So to quote a couple of examples from the Puranas, we all know the beautiful story of Ratnakara, the roadway robber, who got transformed into the sage Valmiki.
Yes.
By how did that process happen? When Narada and the sages come and ask him about the truth, whether your family would come and support you when you are in dire need. Then nobody comes to his refuge. And then Narada tells him that, see, this is what happens. You are in the wrong way. Now it's time for you to reorient yourself.
Yes, yes.
And then he gives him the beautiful and powerful name of Ramanama. But what happens to Ratnakara? He is unable to even pronounce the word Rama. So he is on, because of those brutal traits which are embedded in him, only Mara, Mara, Mara comes.
Yes.
Mara is like dead. When, yes, when you see the literal meaning of that.
He's dead. So
because he keeps on killing people, that is what comes out of his mouth. Yes. But when sage Narada offers that knowledge to him, what happens? The Mara, Mara, Mara becomes Rama.
Mara, 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 Mara. Beautiful.
So in one of the dramas of Valmiki, when our students had put up, Swami was sitting in the chair in the auditorium. As the drama was going on and this scene was about to happen, Swami suddenly turned back and to the person who was sitting behind Swami, Swami just revealed, see, the person who was not able to utter the name of Rama, I made him write the Ramayana.
Beautiful.
And Swami turned back.
Mm.
And that was the revelation that he was none other than that Shakti, which the Saraswati, which gave him the strength to write the Ramayana Kavyam. So beautiful it is. And when you see the example of Kalidasa, when he was not able to utter the beautiful, the grace of Mother Saraswati had given him the strength to compose kavyas.
Kavyas after kavyas. So beautiful, yeah. And then if you come to the present times also, like the one who has been like the pillar of spreading Indian culture in the world, Swami Vivekananda, he was not untouched by this predicament. Remember, there's a beautiful story of his, you know, Parliament of Religions is history. All of us know his
Chicago
historic
speech.
A Chicago speech, a historic speech. But he had shared the lesser known facts about the speech to one of his disciples.
The behind the scenes.
Yes. He writes that he came as a mendicant with that queer tie looking dress, you know, with that kashaya and ochre
robe.
People used to make fun of him and all that with his he had a headband on his head and all that. So he came with that thing and he came to know about this assembly of religions, and he told, I also go and speak. So he was sitting there and his throat gets parched, he gets nervous, and then when his turn comes, he tries to procrastinate. He goes back. So finally a stage comes where they say, you have to speak, there is no one else behind you, so you have to speak. So with trepidation in his heart and shivering of his legs, he just goes and stands in the podium, and then he says, oh mother, like, what is happening? I'm not able to speak. Because he has never faced such learned
audience,
scholars in his life, and from a very from a country which and he was famished, he was not having food properly for some time. So then he says, this is he invokes Mother Saraswati. He says, mother, it is you who have to speak, not me. And then he closes his eyes and just prays to mother, and with lot of full surrender he prays to mother, and then he says, rest is history. And then he reveals that when he spoke to mother, he didn't know what happened. Just words flew like a cascade. It came out of his mouth, and he says that the soul of India, the wisdom of the rishis, the speech of his guru Ramakrishna just flowed through his mouth, and then it was spellbinding for all the people who heard it. And then the first words which came out of his mouth, sisters and brothers of America, was unheard of by anyone there. So this is history. So this is probably one way of looking at how, if you pray to mother, how she can transform you from a person who is crooked in thinking and speech. No, I'm not telling that he was like that, but someone like that also can be, like Ratnakara's example, becomes like this. So this is probably one level of thinking about the Medha and speech. There is one more level where, you know, Swami always says that this is not the only speech which you talk about.
Mm.
It is also the mind. So you remember that Ashwin's experience.
That is a very beautiful experience where Swami reprimands brother Ashwin of talking too much.
Mm.
Swami used to talk very regularly to this brother of ours.
Mm.
And then on one of the occasions, Swami reprimands him, telling, "You're talking too much."
Okay.
And then he decides to take these words of Swami very seriously. And he decides that, yes, next time Swami should not tell these words to me. And I should be becoming a more better person by not speaking to others.
Mm.
And I think it would be nice if we can listen what Brother Ashwin had told regarding this experience.
Mm.
So we shall listen to Brother Ashwin.
Swami, I want to make you happy, and I want to know what I should do to keep you happy.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason at that time, Swami had given two instructions, which I have known him to give a number of his students during various interactions. The first thing he said was, "Let's talk."
Yes.
The second thing he said was, "Less contact." I walked out of Swami's room that day with a zipper on my mouth. Because nothing mattered more to me than to make this Herculean effort to keep him happy. And believe me, I mean it sincerely when I say Herculean, because I was always known to be a chatty guy. So I remember coming into school that day and not saying a word to anyone. I remember doing it for a few days. I remember this extending to a few weeks. And believe me, this whole thing that I should not talk unless absolutely necessary and have as little contact, you know, all my energies, all my efforts should just be about how can I make Swami happy? How do I spend my quieter moments chanting his name? How do I spend my quieter moments completely immersed in my studies such that when I get a good grade, I can go to him and say, "Swami, you wanted an O grade, I've got an O grade for you." That was all that mattered. And I remember doing this for a few months. And after 2 months, Swami calls me in, and the first thing he says, and here I am waiting to get my pat on the back, the first thing he says is, "Hey, too much talk."
Oh my God.
How would I feel? For months, I've sat there with a zipper on my mouth. I've hardly spoken to people. I've not said anything to anyone. I've immersed myself completely in what I felt Swami would keep Swami happy. And he calls me after 2 months and says, "Too much talk." And then Swami points to his lips and says, "Not from here." He points instead to the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And says, "From here."
Oh.
I hold on to that lesson because I've realized that Swami was never Bahya Priya. He wasn't about externals. He wasn't about the activities that you would do in terms of the skeleton of that activity. I know discourses where Swami has said people write Namasmarana thousands and thousands of times, and every now and then as they're writing Om Shri Sairam, they look around and say, "Oh, has a dhobi come?" Or, you know, "I've got something on the stove." So to him, it was never about the externals or the expression or the form. It was always about the spirit and the substance. And that was when I realized that despite the fact I had been quiet, my mind was the noisiest mind in the universe. And I had to start all over again. But this time focused at how can I quieten the mind.
So silencing the mind.
Yes.
And not the mouth.
Alone. Mind also you have to silence.
Yes. Yeah. And Swami beautifully tells in the Satya Sai Seva organizations, I think everyone would be knowing the 9-point code of conduct that Swami had laid down for each person's individual sadhana. The 8th point, which very, very clearly describes that you should not speak ill of others when in their absence.
Yes.
So that is a very, very important lesson, because it's like we are wasting our words on something which is not for us.
Yes. When you told about wasting words, I remember Shirdi Sai Baba has told it so clearly and so to the point, it will hit you directly on your heart. It's like the way he says, in Satcharitra, he says that one of his so-called devotees had come and he had visited Shirdi and he was staying there, and then the all-knowing one knows that he was backbiting someone and he was talking ill about someone else behind his back. So one day when he was going to Lindi, when he in his, you know, he used to go from his Dwarkamai to Lindi every day. So when he's going, he sees a pig gorging dung, and he sees this devotee who's also standing there, and he says, see that pig, how
it is relishing the...
So how nicely it's relishing the dung. This devotee gets little taken aback, flummoxed. What is this? Why Swami is telling, Baba is telling me about this? Then the lesson comes. He says, same way, the way it is gorging dung and enjoying, you revile others behind their back and enjoy it. So there is no difference between you and the pig. So please improve yourself.
Mm.
So like, it is so direct. It means when we talk ill about others behind their back, it is like gorging dung or gorging the fecal matter. So it is so bad. So this has to be avoided, is what Baba had told that time. So this is again one aspect. But remember, like, sometimes even a so-called scholar who knows like the nuances and the intricacies of speech and how good they'll be in their business, even they get silenced by the Lord, and Lord makes them speak what He wants to speak.
Exactly. There is this beautiful example of Sri Medasani Mohan, who was a very great scholar in the field of poetry. And once he was invited to give a lecture during the Dasara celebration.
No, but I think, tell him what actually was his scholarship. He was called
Satavadhani Sahasravadhani.
Means, Ganesh, I think if we just tell what it means is, if 100 people sit in front of you and shoot questions at you, and they shoot in an order, so this person has the capability to remember the order and answer it impromptu, on the spot, in the form of a poet, in the form of a poem. So the answer of the question should be in the form of a poem, which should be on the spot, because we don't know what the questioner is asking you. And then it will be in the same order the way it was asked. Mm. So that is the level of scholarship which this person has.
Exactly. Mm. So this person comes to Swami to deliver a lecture during the Dasara celebrations. And he, in all his reverence, he gives Swami his flower. And then he prostrates to Swami. And he had prepared an entire concept. Because when they go for Shatavadhanam or Sahasravadhanam, they don't need any preparation because it comes impromptu.
Mm.
But when they deliver a lecture, they require a preparation because the duration is fixed and they need to deliver on a subject.
Yes.
So this was what was given to him, and he had prepared his entire speech, then went to Swami, took his blessings, came to the podium, and the experience was completely different. Nothing of which that he had prepared came to his mind.
A blank.
When he looked at Swami, and Swami gave him a glance, what came out was a beauty which he himself admires as the grace of Mother Saraswati.
Beautiful.
In his entire time of learning, whatever the very deep slokas that he had learnt, all those were coming up front.
Oh.
And they were turning out to be the subject of his speech.
Who means whatever he had learned.
Without his knowledge, all the shlokas that he had learned long back were coming up. And the audience was getting enthralled, and he was getting overjoyed by what was happening.
What was happening through him.
Through him.
He doesn't know what is happening.
He himself could not understand, what is it that I am speaking? Okay. It is just out of this world. And it is not me who is speaking. So that is the kind of experience that the goddess Saraswati confers upon you when you surrender to herself.
Yes.
So that is the beauty of the blessings of the Lord.
So Ganesh, when you say that Mr. Medasani Mohan Garu had, without his knowledge, the words came out of his mouth.
Experienced it.
So I again recollect one more sweet experience of Nisargadat Maharaj. You know, one of those sages whom Swami used to call 100% realized, Panbidi Wala. Because he used to have a small Panbidi shop in Mumbai. And this is an experience of one of his devotees who used to come and translate his talks into English. So because he used to speak in chaste Marathi. So he used to have a small shop and there should be a small satsang hall type. And every evening or sometime people used to come and he used to just address. They'll shoot questions and he'll answer them. He'll answer them in Marathi. And this person who's a devotee used to translate them into English. And it was happening for quite some time. And then once he felt that, with such a great sage for so many years, nothing like... I don't feel anything. I should also feel some experience, something special. He was having this thought in him for some time. So one day what happens, he recollects, and it's so electrifying the way you told about Mejasani Mohan Garu. Nisargadat Maharaj tells a line in Marathi and then asks him to translate, and he translates. So this happens, and at one point, Maharaj looks at him and says, "You translate." And then something happens. What is something is that this devotee's mind is listening this devotee's being, if you call it, is listening the Marathi words, is thinking about the Marathi words and converting it into English, and speech is happening. So as if this person doesn't exist, it's just a flute where Maharaj is blowing the Marathi words from there, and English words are coming out from this side. He feels that I'm not there at all. As you told, things are just happening without his knowledge, and he's just experiencing it. So, if Sadguru or gives you that grace and anugraham, things can just happen in a trice.
And many a time we have seen umpteen number of people who translated Swami's discourses,
yes,
having the same experience. Because in the yesteryears, when in the 70s, when Dr. Sudarshan, Dr. Bhagavantam Garu, Professor Nanjundai Garu, and our dear Anil Kumar sir, when they used to translate Swami's discourses, it was like a flow. We never had a feeling that they were thinking about what they are translating.
Yes.
From Swami, it just flowed to them.
Yes.
And that is the amount of grace that Mother Saraswati confers upon you when you take refuge into her.
Yes. So beautiful.
So, Brihadvadema Vidhate Suviraha. So, when you come into contact with Mother Saraswati, how your words get transformed is not only the revelation, but how your intellect gets refined.
And there is one word which comes in when you pray to Hanuman, what happens? There is one word called Vakpatutvam. So means when you speak something, the speech which comes out is measured. It's so apt for the occasion that the people who listen to them are floored by you. So that is yukti. Swami calls it yukti. So we have heard about Hanuman's yukti and how he speaks and how apt it will be whenever he speaks. So anything like that, because Swami himself is our Rama. So by touched by Swami, any such experience if you recollect?
Surely, Bhargav. He is none other than our dear Sai Surendranath sir. Who had this very, very out-of-the-world experience, because when you listen to that experience itself, you will know how Swami puts you through the test, and then He gives you the strength to surrender to Him, and then He makes you overcome that obstacle, and then He makes you victorious, making you Suviraha,
and then gives the credit to you.
Yes. So now we shall listen to the narration of Surendranath sir.
Yes.
One day, when Swami comes for the morning darshan, there was one lady sitting there. She's a professional singer. Hey, kabhi aaya? Swami asked. Swami, I came this morning. Very good, very good. When are you going? She said, Swami, I am going tomorrow evening. Anyway, you have come. Why don't you give a program today evening? Swami, myself and my husband only came, Swami. We don't have any accompaniments. How? Then Swami said, no, my boys are there. Whatever instrument you want, my boys will accompany. Nothing to worry. So today evening, you give program. She said, okay, Swami. And then Swami finished the round, came to the bhajan hall and told me, today evening, she is going to sing. Whatever the instruments that she needs, instruments and the instrument players, you organize. I said, yes, Swami. And then she wanted harmonium, dolak, tabla, keyboard, whatever that she wanted. We picked up the instruments and the players, sent them to her room for 1 hour practice. So between 11 to 12:30, they had some idea what she is going to sing and all that. Then they were all ready. That day evening, 4 o'clock, all of them are seated inside the bhajan hall. Generally, all the participants of that day's program, they'll be seated inside. Swami will come, have a word with them, and then when Swami gives signal, then all the party will go outside to perform. So that day, Swami came 10 minutes early, evening darshan. And when Swami was coming, Swami, you can make out, Swami is so happy, and Swami very eager for something, and he quickly took a short, quick round, and cut short the darshan line and straight came inside the bhajan hall. I was standing near the door. And when I saw Swami's face, he is Ananda Swarupa. Imagine that Ananda Swarupa in Ananda Rupa. It was no words to express. With bright eyes, twinkling eyes, full of smile, bright, brilliant face. Have they come? Pachara? I said, yes, Swami. They are there. Swami was so happy. And then the chair entered the threshold to the bhajan hall main entrance door. And the next second, Swami's face changed. It became like a dry rose, a fresh rose. Next second, imagine it became a dry rose. And no expression, seriousness, the smile is vanished. And he looked at me. Then I sensed something is wrong. But Swami straight went towards the singer, spoke to the singer for a few minutes. Then I thought, something went wrong. But with my own limited imagination, I was trying to calculate, maybe too many players Swami didn't like, or too less players Swami didn't like, or somebody whom Swami is not comfortable, that guy is there. You know, wild imagination, but I am not able to conclude what is the cause for that sudden change. Then I sat quietly. I know I am going to receive something. Okay, fine. We are used to all that. So I sat. To whom you can pray? To him only you can pray, even though he blasts you or admonishes you. You have no choice. So I said, Sairam, Sairam, Sairam. I was praying and sitting there. And I saw the chair turning and coming towards me. My heartbeat increased. I said, I'm mentally prepared. Okay, whatever Swami says, everything is for my good. I will take it. And Swami came, hey, he did. So from sitting position to kneeling down position, I went closer to Swami's chair. Then Swami looked at me and said, that singer is wearing a black sari. Tell her to change the sari before the program. I said, Swami, that singer is wearing a black sari. Tell her to change some other color before the program. I will give you 10 minutes time. I will go and wait inside the interview room. Swami, me? Swami said, yes. And then the chair moved. Again chair paused, came backwards. Again I looked at Swami. Nuvu cheppu, you tell. I said, yes, Swami. And then Swami entered the interview room. Interview room door closed. And I sat putting my both hands on my chin like that. 10 minutes. What will I go and tell that lady? How can I tell a lady, you are wearing a black sari, change? She may tell, what is your problem? Babaji just now came and spoke to me and went. What is your problem, man? Or she may say, my husband bought this for me. What is your problem, man? Or she may say, for the program I got the best of the sari. What is your problem, man? How can I tell? What ways I will try to explain to her? Then I thought, okay, keep quiet. Best thing is keep quiet. Because you can't go and tell a lady, change sari and all that. It's not correct. 5 minutes over. I sat quietly. The boys who were sitting next to me, they said, Sai sir, 5 minutes over. I said, yes ma'am, 5 minutes over. What to do? Tell that lady, sir, to change the sari. Stupid fellow. How can I go and tell that lady, change the sari? Yeah? No, you tell, sir. Because Swami told, no. Yeah, Swami will tell, yeah. How can I go and tell a lady whom I do not know by face, or I am not familiar, she is not my relative. How can I go and tell her, change the sari? Tell, Swami told, sir. Do you know what is the last command? You tell. What is the meaning of you tell? Don't use my name. You tell means I am involved. Swami is not involved. So how can I tell now? Oh, like that, boy said. Yeah, man, like that only. Best thing is keep quiet. Sir, what will happen? Whatever happens, happens, yeah. I cannot go and tell. Okay, keep quiet, I said. Leave me alone. So, I felt that 10 minutes was full of peace. Because I am guaranteed, 10 minutes nothing will happen. If anything has to happen, it will happen after 10 minutes only. Okay, let us enjoy this 10 minutes first. After 10 minutes, what will happen? Maybe he will get upset. He may say, send him out. He is not listening to Swami's words. Swami's command is not following. He is not doing it. At the most, I may be sitting among the devotees from tomorrow onwards. Maybe this is the last day I am sitting in the bhajan hall. So, let me enjoy this and get ready for whatever that can happen. So, I was sitting like that. Swami gave grace minute, 2 minutes extra. After 12 minutes, the door opens. Not only me intention, all the boys, those who are accompanying, those who witnessed, they were even more tense than me. They are not bothered about the program. What will happen to this guy now? Like that. When the door opens, everybody was shocked. Finished. Sai sir is gone today, like that. When the door opened, from inside interview room door, Swami looked, I was sitting diagonally. From there, Swami was signing. Ready, I didn't know to say, not this way or this way. I don't know what to say. Just then, my eyes fell next to Swami's chair. 4 pattu saris, silk saris were there. I saw the sari. Next second, I rushed, even without being called. Straight, I barged into the interview room. Swami was seriously looking, what this fellow from bhajan hall? Straight is coming inside the interview room. Then I was kneeling down to Swami. Swami, this sari, yeah, usually after program we give, no. Swami, just give me 5 minutes time. Work is done. And then I picked up 4 saris. I myself closed the interview room door. Swami was wondering, what is this guy doing? I lifted the sari, I closed the interview room door, straight came inside the bhajan hall. I went to this lady. Madam, Swami has sent these 4 saris. Which color do you like? Then she said, this color is very good. I don't have this color. Madam, take it, madam. With full of joy and happiness, she picked up that sari. And then immediately I said, madam, Swami surprised you, no? Why not we surprise Swami? Then she said, how I can surprise Swami? Swami will take 5 minutes to come, madam. Can you change this sari? How? I am in R3. You have to take me to R3. Going, coming itself, 10 minutes. Then I have to change. By then Swami will come. And if I am not there, Swami will feel upset. You don't have to go there, madam. There is a small room here. I will get it open. So where there is a room where we keep Swami's Arati plate, everything. I told the Sevadal to open that room. She went inside. She changed her sari. She came and sat. And with the extra saris, I sat right only. After 5 minutes, Swami was very inquisitive. What's happening outside? When Swami opened the door, again he looked at me. And Swami did not show any expression. But I showed expression. Yes, Swami. Done. Like that. So, Swami wanted to know what this guy did and how he did. inquisitive nature, speed, the chair entered. Swami saw this lady already wearing, instead of black, blue sari, that is given by Swami. Kabhi change kiya, Swami said. Then she felt very happy that everything went on very well. Then Swami turned and said, not bad. I said, Swami, it's all your intuition and your grace. And Swami felt very happy and went inside. After the program is over, she got one more sari. From the other three, one more bonus she got on the stage there.
So, the way Swami blessed Sai Surendranath sir with that firm conviction,
yes,
that yes, this is a problem created by you,
mm,
and the solution is there with you,
mm,
and I surrender to you whatever may come, and you are the one who is going to get me out of this situation. Solution, yes, is yours, in your hands.
Yes.
And the credit was given to Sai sir, and that is the amount of grace that Mother Saraswati confers on you.
Yeah. Well, and one more thing, na, when you say Baga Cheppeo, means you spoke well.
Mm.
Such a beautiful moment for a devotee that God himself, mm, enacts the whole play, mm, and finally gives you the credit for that.
Exactly.
And he only makes you go through the whole thing.
Mm.
So, okay, like now we have covered some considerable amount of points in this second line, because Duruktan and Bhuradvami Vadhate Vidite Suviraha. So one thing which, like a check, which Swami always says, when, I am already practicing it sincerely, I am not getting into gossip or slander, but still a situation like that arises, where I'm dragged into a situation like that,
mm,
what should I do? So Swami gives a beautiful filter, three filters Swami says, which Socrates used to follow. So, according to Swami, the filter is that once Socrates was walking on the street, and then one of his known person or a disciple, someone comes to him and says, Guru, there is an interesting thing which has happened. I want to share with you. It's a hot news. Then he says, no. Okay, before you tell me the news, I want you to fulfill those three tests which I am going to put, whatever you want to speak. If you pass the three tests only, I will listen to you, otherwise I won't listen to you. First is, have you heard it directly from someone, or is it a hearsay? No, it's a grapevine. Okay. Second test is, are you sure it is truth? Lord, I don't know if it's truth or not, I'm not sure. Okay, second test also fails. The third test, whatever you're going to tell me, is it going to be of any help to me? No, it is just a frivolous thing, not an important thing to be told. just passing time. See, there it is. So, you have failed all the three tests, so please don't tell me that, because it's not going to benefit me in any way. So, Swami says, these are three tests which you should always follow. Whenever someone comes to you or approaches you, or when you want to approach someone with something, if you want to talk to someone about something, you also put yourself to three tests. If you find all the three it fulfills, then only you approach and speak. Then you are actually doing justice to Mother Saraswati, because you are utilizing her properly.
Actually, here itself we can clearly know the power of discrimination.
Mm.
There the Medha Shakti or Medha Devi is starting to act.
Yes.
Before you put something into action,
mm,
you think whether that thought is worth putting it into action or not. So, when the check comes there is no question about a problem arising when you stop it at the thought level.
Yes, so beautiful.
So, I think with these beautiful thoughts, we shall wind up today's episode of Veda Jignasa, and we do request the listeners to write their feedback and share their thoughts to listener@radiosai.org or WhatsApp it to 9393-258-258. Sai Ram, happy listening, and with a prayer that every thought, word and deed is his inspiration, we shall conclude today's class with the Shama Pradhana Mantram.
Oh. Yadaksharapada Bhrashtam Matra Hinam Tu Yad Bhavet Tatsarvam Kshamyatam Deva Narayana Namostute Visargabindu Matrani Padapadaksharani Cha Yunani Cha Tiriktani Kshamasvasaishvara Aparada Sahasrani Kriyante Harnishanmaya Daso Yammiti Mamatva Kshamasvasaishvara Anyatha Sharanam Nasti Tameva Sharanam Mama Tasmat Karunya Bhavena Rakshasaishvara Hari Om Tatsat Sri Saishvara Arpanamastu.
In a few moments from now, you will be listening to the live Telugu segment Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesh Jari. Stay tuned to Asia Stream. Sai Ram and happy listening.